The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
If we spin this story forward, not one step but two, I believe what you end up fairly quickly with is the Andy Dalton bar in the AFC East. And that's a bar that Sam Darnold and Josh Allen better hurdle. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up in this hour, we're going to be joined by our buddy Taylor Twellman to break down everything from the world of sports. We get our finger back on the pulse of when do we get sports back? Are we optimistic or are we pessimistic today? We do it every day on our pre-show call. Nuno, Bubba, Mike A., Pat, and myself. We ask ourselves every day, how are we feeling right now about the return of sports in 2020? Let's talk about that with Taylor Twellman. Plus, I have a long conversation up on our podcast feed, which you should go get and listen to, with University of Texas head coach Tom Herman. Earlier, we played a quote or a cut from Tom Herman about his career path and how many exit ramps and breaking points and big breaks there were before ending up the head coach at not just a Power 5 conference school, but one of the biggest football programs in the United States. A little bit later on in the show, I'm going to play a cut from our conversation that's a bit more personal about how he grew up, the child of a single mother, his relationship with his father, and mine as well. And we'll play that a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But Andy Dalton is available. He is a free agent quarterback now. He's been released by the Cincinnati Bengals, and the question is, does he find himself in the same position as Cam Newton or even Jameis Winston? That is, looking for a job or accepting a backup quarterback job. I believe Andy Dalton has been undervalued through much of his career, stuck in a difficult situation in Cincinnati, who consistently led that team to the playoffs through the early parts of his career. I don't think Andy Dalton is the best quarterback in the league, but I think he is absolutely a competent starting level quarterback, as is Cam Newton. But finding the right home for these guys is what's difficult. Well, Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL front office insider, was on GetUp, and he agreed with something that I think. New England, that's the place for Dalton. Listen.
Obviously, the conversation is going to immediately focus on the New England Patriots and whether or not, from a fit perspective, does he fit what possibly they would be looking for in terms of a veteran acquisition in the context of their offense. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't have any intel on that, although I would only just say this right now. You know, look, two over the past 3 years, Andy has really struggled as far as completing above, even getting, you know, cracking the 60% completion percentage plateau, and his yards per attempt have been down too. So, you know, in the six yards per attempt range. Now, a lot of that doesn't, I mean, there are more things than just him that have to do with that. Obviously, pass protection, consistency of the weaponry on the perimeter, all that has to do with that. Now, but it will be interesting to see if New England does investigate this and kick the tires here, because from a profile standpoint, it would make sense from a veteran acquisition standpoint for them.
From a profile standpoint, that's where I think Andy Dalton checks all the boxes for the New England Patriots. Veteran, smart, competent, safe, personality to fit into a Bill Belichick culture. And I think Andy Dalton would right now, be the best quarterback in the AFC East. Now, I know that's something for the Buffalo Bills, having just gone 10-6 with Josh Allen, and consistently right now, people on ESPN saying Sam Darnold is the best quarterback from the last three drafts. Have y'all seen that? I think it was Dan Orlovsky, our buddy, who was on Get Up the other day, when asked who the best quarterback prospects are from the last three drafts, the last 3 years, he ranked Sam Darnold number one. That's ahead of guys like Lamar Jackson. Tell you what, I'll play that sound a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But I believe that Andy Dalton would step in right now as the quarterback of the New England Patriots and set the Andy Dalton bar. And if Sam Darnold and Josh Allen did not cross that bar, well, that would answer some very big questions about the future of those franchises. Hear me out. So, again, I think Dalton's good. I don't think Dalton is great. I think every expectation is that Sam Darnold and Josh Allen should end up better than Andy Dalton, but I don't think they are yet. And if this year this coming season. They were not capable of outperforming Andy Dalton, and I don't just mean from a win-loss perspective. It's not going to be a situation where Andy Dalton gets all the credit for a potential 10-6 New England Patriot team, and Sam Darnold gets all the blame for a potential 8-8 New York Jets season. That's not going to be the bar. Like everything, it's going to be a combination of things that we see from a statistical perspective, from a film breakdown perspective, from a win-loss perspective. But if you look at those quarterbacks last year, Darnold went 7-6. He completed 62% of his passes, 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and about 3,000 yards. That's in 13 games, by the way, because you remember his mono. Josh Allen, 59% completion percentage, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 3,000 yards. He also ran for 500 yards and 9 touchdowns. Andy Dalton stepping in as the quarterback of the New England Patriots sets a bar. When you factor in stats, quarterback competency, and win-loss, because right now, what do you think Andy Dalton and New England Patriots would be? I'm going 10-6. I'm going in a battle with both of those other teams, the Bills and the Jets, for the AFC East. He would have them right there. He would have them as a playoff team, and he'd have them as a team that would be a problem in the first or second round of the NFL playoffs. And if Darnold and Allen can't leap that bar this year, well, now you got problems. And now you got to revisit, for example, Dan Orlovsky. In fact, Nuno, give me that sound, would you? Dan Orlovsky projecting Sam Darnold as the best quarterback of the last 3 years. But it may not be New England for Andy Dalton. It may not be the Andy Dalton bar in the NFC East, because Adam Schefter, ESPN's NFL insider, said, here's some other options for the newly released quarterback.
The supply of quarterbacks exceeds the demand for quarterbacks. Most teams have filled their positions. When we look around the league, people still look at New England and wonder whether they would bring in another quarterback to compete with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. People look at Jacksonville, which has Josh Dobbs as its backup quarterback to Gardner Minshew at this point in time. You look at a team like the Dallas Cowboys right now, they still don't have a viable, proven, experienced backup.
The Dallas Cowboys, but that would be a backup quarterback job. If Andy Dalton's ready and willing to take a backup quarterback job, there's going to be plenty available to him. And I agree, the Cowboys would be a great situation for him. I don't think Jacksonville makes sense. I just had that debate with Booger McFarland. I think Jacksonville doesn't make sense from their perspective. Andy Dalton and Cam Newton win just enough to keep you out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. But he does make sense in New England. And again, if Darnold and Allen can't cross that bar, then they have big questions. Like, is Dan Orlovsky right when he ranks Sam Darnold number one over the last three drafts? I think Orlovsky's, Nuno, in this cut, does Orlovsky lay out his top five over the last three drafts?
He does, yes.
He does. Okay, so I don't have to try to remember it. I think I do remember it, by the way. You want me to try to test it real quick?
No, let's
I think
just he's, play the audio.
No. Don't tell me what to do. I think it goes like this. I think he said Darnold one, Burrow two, Murray 3, Tua 4, Jackson 5. That's my guess. Let's see what he said.
Start with number 5. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson. Number 4, I would go Tua Tagovailoa. Number 3, Kyler Murray. Number 2, I would go Joe Burrow, the first pick of this year's draft. And I would still take old Sam Darnold number 1. And this is why. Everything that I talk about when it comes to Joe Burrow, the accuracy, the anticipation, creativity, instincts, reactions, all that stuff, Sam Darnold has. He just does it with a stronger arm. And so that's why, building for the future, this is a draft for the future, I'd take Sam Darnold number 1 still.
Dan, did I just hear you say that Tua was going to be one of the top 3 quarterbacks in this draft, the last 3 drafts over the next 10 years, but you said my Detroit Lions shouldn't take him? did I just hear that?
You heard me.
Okay, so why isn't he on this list,
Jalen,
number 1?
That was the right
hold on.
Jalen got him. Jalen got him good. Cause if, what he got him on was inconsistency. Cause Dan argued that the Lions should not take Tua when it was available to them at 3 because they had Stafford. But he also argued that Tua was the 4th, not 3rd, 4th best quarterback over the last 3 drafts. That's not all though. Because he also defended the Eagles taking Jalen Hurts in the 2nd under Carson Wentz. So why then wouldn't the Lions take the 4th best quarterback over a 3 draft period to be behind Matt Stafford? You got you, Dan. Jalen got you. He got you good. And he went after for having Lamar Jackson 5th. To that, Dan Orlovsky said, this is a projection over the next 10 years, not where they are right now. Steve from Oklahoma, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Yeah, this is Steve from Oklahoma.
Yes, it is.
Glad to be on. I think Andy Dalton needs to take a back seat to Dak so that we can guarantee we can get a championship in Dallas.
Well, that's one of the potential jobs, Steve, in Oklahoma. I appreciate it. Wouldn't be bad. If he's ready to go the backup route, that would be a good place for him to land if the Cowboys want to pay that kind of money, and I doubt they do. Otherwise, I think it's New England. I think it's going to be a starter. Taylor Twellman will break it all down with us next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Let's take our finger, let's put it on the pulse of whether or not we should be optimistic or pessimistic about sports coming back in 2020. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. We're welcoming into the show to hang out, as I just described him, to my son who came into the room where I'm broadcasting, one of the best soccer players in American history. It's Taylor Twellman on the Will Cain Show. What's up, man?
Yeah, naturally he said, who, Landon Donovan?
No. He did.
You're
not.
Like, no, that's not. What did he get for his birthday, by the way? He got something nice, didn't he?
That's why he came in. He was modeling a new full Manchester City kit he was just showing me. It's the black one with all the, you know, it's the third kit, not the standard. They like to get the real edgy ones. You know what I'm talking about?
For the listeners, kit means jersey.
Well, I'm not being fancy like that because it's the shorts, too. So it's the full uniform. Kit means uniform.
I know, right? You're not. I'm just trying to clarify it for the, you know, quote-unquote American sports fan.
He just turned 9, Taylor. And
oh, I love it.
He failed at his goal. But that's all right. His goal was, we went into quarantine, his juggling record was like 13 or 14. So we've been, 4 weeks? He was 8. His goal was, before I turn 9, I want to get to 50. He got to 46.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's good.
That was a humble brag to get. Yeah,
that's a good one, though.
He's passionate.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, what else is he going to do? He's going to be homeschooled by you, or he's going to juggle on his own? If I'm him, I'm juggling on my own.
Exactly. Taylor Twellman here on the Will Cain Show. All right, man, so what do you think right now? Let's start with that. Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic we're going to get sports back in 2020?
I've been optimistic from the beginning. Now, what's more frustrating for me is how many people are pessimistic with actually no real, you know, insight into just being pessimistic for the sake of saying, well, no, everyone, you know, this is what we're doing. This is a pandemic. I've been from the beginning, Will, I've said this. And listen, I've always been a glass half full kind of guy. But if players can be healthy, then he or she has an obligation to play the game. If it's on the surface of the moon, the surface of the sun, the middle of a park, no matter where that game is, if you can be healthy and you can play that game and you have to quarantine yourself from the family, you do have an obligation to play for, one, your employer, but also to understand the importance of playing for the fan. Will, I've never watched rounds 5, 6, and 7 in the NFL draft. I could literally dissect the entire draft for you right now because I was that engaged. There is an obligation for, and I'm not saying the NFL draft was a sporting event. It was an event, but it, you know, there's no sports that were played. But my point is, if you can guarantee these athletes health and promise them, and it comes from a quarantine, and yes, you may have to leave your family for a little bit, I'm sorry. I'm putting my player's hat on. You have to play.
Okay, you feel like there's an obligation they have to play. I don't know how widely shared your opinion is among athletes. So there's a couple of stories out today. One of them is from CNBC suggesting that I believe it centers around the NBA. NBA
yes.
agents and team executives are starting to express frustration that the season hasn't been canceled. They think at this point that it should be. Now, LeBron James responded to that. LeBron James just tweeted and said, I don't know where that's coming from. It's not true. I'm ready to get back and play right now. But I have to think, LeBron's not, his opinion isn't universally held. I think yours is certainly not universally held. So I start to wonder, like, what are players, there are certainly going to be players who are fearful for their health and the
yes.
people in their lives' health, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked Nuno and the guys this in our pre-show meeting. I said, and then on the other hand, businesses are afraid of the liability of putting this on and guys getting sick, right? So what if they said, we want to come back, we want you to come back. In order to do so, you have to sign a waiver liability that if you get sick from coronavirus, we're not held liable for it. Do you think most players would come back and sign that waiver liability to do so?
Well, it's a great way to put it on to that question, but I'm gonna tell you this, Will, there has to be a bylaw to that. They would say, a lot of players would say, well, who's in charge of the quarantine? Who's if the teams in the sport say, listen, Will Taylor, if you follow our instructions, you follow our rules, you stay in our quarantine, and you do what we do, then we're liable. But the moment you leave our schedule, our premises, whatever that may be, then you are liable.
Wait. So here's the thing. I think if I'm running that business, okay, I'm thinking impossible. I personally believe that, Taylor. The quarantine's impossible. You're not going to create a foolproof bubble where we can protect everybody from getting sick. That's just not going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to have to accept some level of risk tolerance. Like, there's a chance you're going to get sick, but we need to
get back. What is that chance, though, Will? Like, if you created an Olympic village,
you can't figure it out.
Those players never left there? And everyone shows up with no COVID-19, how do they get it?
If you're well, can I tell you something, Taylor? Here's what I think. I don't think anybody knows anything. That's what I think. And I'm telling you, every day, this is my routine. I actually don't have a routine. Some days I get up and I work out right away. Other days I sit down right away, start drinking coffee and start reading. And I'm reading every single, I start with the coronavirus articles. I always do, man. And then I move on to sports. And I will read stuff. And because I do it every day, I know, like, one day I read, well, this goes back a ways, right? It was masks aren't important, right? Don't wear masks. You're more likely. Literally at one point we were told you kind of increase your chances of getting sick if you wear a mask. Do you remember that? Because
yes.
You may wear it incorrectly. Now it's like masks must be worn when you walk out. Today I read that children do not pass it on to adults. They think there's a new study that it doesn't actually transmit from children to adults. Now I'm not out here reporting that. Anybody listening needs to understand that, because my point is rather, I mean, a week ago it was definitely, well, children don't get sick that often, but they can pass it to adults. A week from now, I have no idea what it will be. And my point is, I think this thing, we just don't know much about it at all. So
well,
I don't think
stopped reading the news and watching the news 3 weeks ago, pal.
Why?
For that
because
same reason.
Yeah.
I can't deal with the mixed messaging. Here's a great example. Sorry to interrupt you in the train of your
thought. No, please.
I just thought of this. This was literally yesterday at almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My brother calls me, his wife. She's got a fever. She's got a bad stomach. So she's got a little case of diarrhea and she's got an awful headache. Calls the doctor. You need to get tested right away. 24 hours later, which is right now, fever gone, stomach fine. She's out playing with the kids. They called two different doctors for opinions. One said completely fine, no COVID-19. The other one said you absolutely need to quarantine for 14 days and you need to get a test ASAP.
That doesn't surprise me because, by the way, you know what else is growing? The list of symptoms is growing.
Yes.
I mean, they're adding to it all
the time. The list of symptoms has surprised the absolute. That's the thing, Will. So I look at it and I'm like, well, okay, so if that's the case, then what do? We just bury our heads in the sand. And I'm not saying we act carelessly. On the other hand, though, about sports, my word, all I'm hearing from soccer players in MLS and in Europe, they're fine if you can tell us, and like you just said, no one's going to tell them they're 100% sure they can't get sick.
Exactly.
So then I personally would play. I would take the risk. But I also would respect the decision not to. But that's where I'm a little stuck in the mud a little bit on this conversation, because no one is saying anything definitively. So you then can't say definitively that you can't get sick.
I'm going to take that somewhere. Because the point of saying nobody knows anything, you're stuck in the mud, that's not a worthless exercise to me. What that actually is an accurate view of the current state of knowledge. But we have to get to a point of decision making. And that's where we'll go in the next segment. I think you're going to have to address, hey man, we only know so much. So then what do you choose to do? That with Taylor Twellman next on The Will Cain Show.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Still hanging out with ESPN soccer analyst Taylor Twellman. All right, man, so here's where we were. I want to pick up right where we were, which was essentially, we don't know anything.
Yep.
Both of us talked about, every morning we wake up, we read the latest on coronavirus, read the latest on sports. Nuno and Bubba and Pat and Mike A and I, we do it every day. How are we feeling today? Is Will optimistic or pessimistic? And it's not even a daily thing. It literally is an hourly thing. I change multiple times throughout the day on whether or not I'm optimistic or pessimistic on sports returning in 2020. I do in a way feel like we're kind of approaching the light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe it's because states are starting to open up. Maybe here, how about this, Taylor? I think it has, and I've said this before on the show, I think a stay-at-home quarantine has a lifespan on it, like outside of science. I read a poll the other day that 70% of people said they would reach their breaking point within the month of May, and that 100% would reach it within 6 months, which seems obvious. But yeah. Like, I think there's a point. I think there's a point in which people are just going to stop, right? Like, no. This is just not how we can live life anymore. I just think that's going to happen at some point, regardless of what is going on out there. So, with that knowledge, we both said, okay, we spin our wheels in the mud. You know, the information changes on a day-to-day basis, how it's transmitted, how contagious it is, all of that. What I think we're going to get to with sports and everything is we're just going to get to that question of, will you risk it? Will you as a business, will you as a human being risk it? And that goes back to the question of you as a player. We're going to open the league up. We would like you to sign a waiver liability because we can't guarantee you won't get sick. There's no way we can do that. And you're going to absolve us. You're going to indemnify us against liability if you get sick. And we're all going to get back, if we can, to work. And that's going to become an individual player choice. Nuno argued to me that the rich ones will choose not to. But LeBron James is saying he would.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. I know what Nuno's saying. On the other hand, you're talking about where the money is not – it doesn't play a factor for a lot of these guys. It's the legacy. I mean, LeBron wants to play because he feels like this may be his last best chance to win this thing, right? No matter if it's got an asterisk next to it or not. So here's the one caveat to all of this that I hear from so many athletes in all the sports, Will. Well, what's the testing process? Because I do believe the testing process is a huge X factor into whether or not you're signing that waiver. If you're getting tested every single day and everyone else is getting tested, if every athlete you're competing against is getting tested.
Like, I don't understand how testing is going to make us. The thing about it is, it only tells you if you're clean today. It doesn't tell you if you're sick or who you may come into contact with for the next day or two. If it's combined with a massively strict quarantine bubble, then maybe. But otherwise, I just feel like it's a still shot in a video world. Like, it's one snapshot of where you are at this moment. But you're going to go
about. But that's what I'm asking, though. That's what I'm saying, Will. If testing is and obviously you and I are having this conversation, and we're saying testing should go to those that need it the most. But if there is some kind of access to testing in the next 6, 8, 12 weeks where everyone can get tested and it's readily accessible, who's to say these athletes in that quarantine can't get tested every 24 to 48 hours? That's what I'm saying,
Taylor,
Will.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I did.
You know, Rex Chapman posted of that guy supposedly getting that coronavirus test. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I've had it once in my life, dude. I've had that kind of test happen to me once. And dude, you know me. I'm operating on a half a brain anyways. That Q-tip going, it is no joke. And I've talked to three friends of mine that had COVID-19, got tested for it. Two of them were positive, one was negative. They said it was the most painful test they've ever had.
Wait, you think that video is real, by the way? Because I question if it's real. That Q-tip goes so far back into that dude's head.
All three guys I asked, I texted them the Rex Chapman video. Well, they all said, yep, that's the test I did.
No. Bubba and Nuno and I said, I'm just going to fight the Rona. I'll just hold up in my house and I'm going to fight the Rona because that I can't have that Q-tip touching brain matter. That thing is way back in there.
It gets up there, dude. It gets up there. But to your point, though, wait, so all the drive-through testing that was going on around the world, that's the test? I'm not so sure that's true, is it?
No, I saw them do a test on TV one time, and they didn't go near that far back.
Right, so you don't – that's what I mean. So not all testing is that, but that is the three gentlemen that I spoke to. That is the test they got. It was in a doctor's office, their personal doctor. That was the test they got, and they said it was literally – five Q-tips taped together all the way to the back of the head.
Oh, my gosh. Taylor Twelman here on the Will Cain Show. I'm out, too. Hey, so back to the optimism-pessimism thing. Here's the thing, to bring us up to date on the status of the sports world. This ties into soccer, your expertise. The French Ligue 1 has canceled their season now, right? They're going to crown Paris Saint-Germain the champion. So they're done. Not going to try to get this back up for this summer. Where other leagues in Europe, are like the Bundesliga and the Premier League, are trying to get it back up and going. And then back to what we don't know is the whole thing of the second wave. Like, what happens? Yeah. To me, that's the big unknown. September, October is the great unknown, and what happens then?
Yeah, that's what everyone's talking about. I actually spoke with a technical director of the Bundesliga this morning, and they were planning on playing May 2nd, May 9th, one of those weekends. And each state of Germany had this health department, and they came in. They're now asking the players, Will, to wear masks. And there's a report on BBC Sport. Like, there's no way. You can't wear that mask and run 6 to 7 miles with your heart rate at that level for 90 minutes. Well, I'm sorry, you just can't. So that's why you also saw FIFA say, well, actually, we're going to change the substitution rules. You're now going to have 5 instead of 3. The whole point is this. The French league can say no. The Netherlands can say no. The Belgians can say no because they don't have any kind of TV money that's worthwhile. The Bundesliga is about $750 million, and the English Premier League is about $1.2 billion. That's why they're going to finish some season. And, Will, the number one reason why is if they don't, any team that is relegated can then sue for damages. That's why they need to have completion of the season. And the other aspect is the governments of Germany and England see value of sports being played for the morale of the rest of the country, where the French sports minister and the Dutch sports minister are saying, nope, I'm sorry, it's over, it's done with, doesn't matter. Germany and England are operating saying there's a morale to our country that needs this, and we need to exhaust every single opportunity we can to get that. But it says a lot to me that if you would have had me on the show last week, I would have said May 2nd, May 9th. Well, here now Germany's saying May 16th, May 23rd. Just got pushed back another 7 days.
Yeah, and I read that in Germany, if they don't put on the soccer season, 50% of the Tier 2, the Division 2 teams, would go bankrupt. And that's, by the way, and then that takes us to the American, and we got to wind this up, Taylor, but like in the CNBC article with the NBA, it was suggesting that most of the teams in the NBA, specifically those that won't make the playoffs, they don't have any financial incentive to come back. Like they've already lost a lot of sponsorship revenue and advertising revenue, and they're just going to be putting costs out if they put games on at this point, especially without fans.
Yeah, but Will, the NBA, listen, I don't care if I know the Western Conference is a little tight for the eighth seed, but if you came out right now and said, here we are, it's 8 weeks, we're quarantining everybody, we're going to play a tournament, it's going to be for the NBA Finals, it is what it is. This is a pandemic. We've never seen it. It's unprecedented. That's better to me than just saying, oh, raise your hands and saying, I don't know what the right answer is. Right. Like, if you can do something, do it. It's better than nothing.
I think that's what we're going to get. It's going to be a governmental, business, and individual decision at some point. Just go, it's time to take the risk. That's what's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it starts. Taylor Twelman here on the Will Cain Show. Man, I love talking to you. Thank you, bud.
See you, brother.
Okay, take care. All right, coming up, more with Tom Herman. We got personal in an hour-long podcast, which you can go get on the Will Cain Show. The head coach of the Texas Longhorns and I talked about our past, our families, and what motivates us through some of the hardships we've had in the past. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Coming up, I'm going to play you some sound from my long interview with Texas head football coach Tom Herman. We got personal. We shared some things about our lives, our family experiences, and how it motivates us today. I think it was way more personal and introspective than either of us expected. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Before I get serious with some of that sound, which I think you'll enjoy, I think everybody did, we were just talking about that coronavirus test that's a video that Rex Chapman has on his Twitter with Taylor Twellman. Pat has not seen this video. And he wanted to look for it during the commercial break. We said, no, no, no. We want to hear you watch this live. We want to hear your reaction. So, Nuno, you have it dialed up, right?
I do. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Bubba's also here, and it was his idea. You really want to hear Pat's reaction to this?
Oh, no. I don't want to see it again.
Bubba, just don't look at my screen.
I don't want to watch it. So
okay.
Bad.
All right.
Are we ready?
You can see it on Rex Chapman's Twitter feed. Pat's seeing it for the first time.
God.
Pat, this is a coronavirus test. Somebody's telling me this is 4 weeks old. Like, it used to be like this. They're different now. But watch this test, Pat.
All right. Let's see it.
Okay. All right. He's leaning this soldier's head back. He's got about a 6-inch long Q-tip.
No. Oh, what? He stabbed him in the back of the head.
He did.
Oh, my. No. Oh, oh no, no. Nope. Not, no.
Do you see what I mean now?
Absolutely not.
I'm just fighting the coronavirus. That's all I'm going to do. I'd rather presume I have it and just stay by myself. He takes that Q-tip. He holds the soldier's head. He shoves that Q-tip back as far as he can. It stops, right? And then he kind of gives it a twist or nothing and goes another like 2 inches deep. And the whole time the soldier's just like shaking. He's shaking and wincing and fighting it.
It's assault. It's assault. It's the worst.
It looks like a kill shot. Like, I don't know how you survive that. Pat, you're quiet.
Yeah, I'm in shock. He didn't look comfortable, that's for sure. Dear Lord.
No, comfortable, that's an understatement. All right, I did a long conversation with the head football coach of the Texas Longhorns, Tom Herman. I really appreciated his time, his willingness. I challenged him on the state of Texas's football program and also got kind of deep on his life and things I'd learned and read about. And I wanted to talk to him about, honestly, the role of his father in his life. He grew up the single child, single mother, only child of a single mother. And that's because his dad had issues with addiction, and he shared some of that experience with me. Listen to this.
I don't want to say my dad was a bad dad. He wasn't when he was sober. We had some really good times together. But, you know, when you die in a homeless shelter when you're 52 years old, that's not the life that anybody envisions. And so I don't ever want to put my children, my family, the people that I love and who love me through what I had to go through.
I really appreciate you sharing that. I'll tell you from this perspective, I don't talk about my situation much at all. I will if I'm asked.
Yeah, I didn't even know that about you. Will, what if you don't mind me asking, what are the specifics?
My dad struggled with alcohol, just like yours. I can't speak to the specifics. There's all kinds of different alcoholics. There are alcoholics that drink every day, and then there's alcoholics that binge drink. But the emotional impact to me was exactly as you described. It's a yo-yo. It's back and forth. It's resentment. It's responsibility. Why can't you get this together? It's guilt for feeling resentment, you know? And ultimately, it's understanding powerlessness. I had no ability to fix this, even though as a young person, I'm talking preteen and teen, thinking it was on me to fix it. No ability to fix it whatsoever. And ultimately, my dad died. And this is the part you asked, so I'll tell you, but I never really talk about it. In his 50s, just like your dad, my dad took his own life. And the weird thing, Tom, is, like you just said, it's not only was he not a bad dad, in my situation, he was a great dad. And despite all of that, I think the thing that motivates me more than anything, more than money, more than anything, is this intangible sense of wanting to make him proud.
Yeah, and you know, it's really weird because of the yo-yo relationship that I had with my dad. I do know you know, me being his only child, he was very proud of me. And you're right. There is a sense he got to see me get married, but he's never met any of his grandchildren, you know, and I do hope that, you know, he's looking down from above and is proud of, you know, the dad and husband and person that I've become. And, but it certainly brought, me and my mom closer together too, you know, and making her proud is extremely important to me too. But most importantly, my wife and three kids, you know, I want to be the best version of me that I can be. And, you know, having seen someone, failures, not the right word, but struggle to be, my dad was a college graduate and wound up homeless the last couple of years of his life. And, you're right. There's an intrinsic motivation that A, you want to make him proud, but B, you don't want your family to go through what you went through either.
I really appreciated that conversation with Tom Herman. You can go get the entire podcast in the Will Cain Show feed. You know, obviously you heard me as well in there sharing a few things about myself that I probably have never talked about here on the Will Cain Show. And that's just because, not that I really honestly hide anything about my life, but I don't want to offer it up as currency in this business that more often than not is fake more than it is real. But in that spirit, if I'm ever asked, and Tom Herman asked me about my experience, I will share it. There's no point in lying or hiding. It's just not something you bring up at a party. And I just can't tell you how grateful I am that Tom Herman was willing to do the same when I asked him about his experience and his dad dying of alcoholism, homeless in his 50s, and the impact it has on him today and helping him arrive at this place where he is when he leads one of the biggest college football programs in the nation. I just can't tell you how grateful I am that he was willing to do so. You can go hear the whole podcast on the Will Cain Show feed. Listen to it. It's an hour long. I challenge him on the program as well. It's good stuff.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.